So this is the season of gifts. How many of you did Black Friday shopping? All right. So how many of you have started some of the shopping process and you'll have most of it done within a week or two? Who out there? Okay, there's some of you. How many of you are going to wait until December 23rd to finalize all of your Christmas shopping? Wow, we got lots of procrastinators. So this is the time where we talk a lot about gifts, right? And we get so focused on the gifts. And really, though, when we step back and think about why are we making lists, why are we giving gifts, it's all because the gifts remind us, ultimately, of the gift of God giving us Jesus Christ. Right? That's what we explain to our children when they say, why do we give gifts? It's not just because they need a new bike or an Xbox. It's because in the process of giving the gifts, we are hopefully thinking about the gift that God gave us in Jesus Christ. So as we think about gifts this season, we are going to unwrap the gifts of Christmas. And we're going to think about gifts a little differently. It's not TVs and Xboxes or phones, but we're going to think about gifts being spiritual gifts. And we're going to unwrap these spiritual gifts that God has given us and look at some of the characters in the Nativity story. Because when we unwrap their gifts, what we see is because they were able to live into their spiritual gifts, we get to experience the greatest gift of all. When we talk about spiritual gifts, here's a definition for you. And I invite you to follow along in your YouVersion Bible app. Remember, we're on the events tab, and you can follow along with our church. And all the outline of the sermon is there, along with scriptures. And you can take notes, and you can make references, and come back and engage with the scriptures and Bible studies throughout the week. So I invite you to follow along with that. And in there, you'll see that the spiritual gifts, here's the definition for it. It's unique gifts from the Holy Spirit, shared for the doing of ministry and the building up of the body of Christ. So these are unique gifts. Not all of us have every single spiritual gift. Some of us might be really good at administration, and some of us might be really good at mercy. And just because you have one spiritual gift over another doesn't mean your gift is better or worse than somebody else's. But you might think about discernment or evangelism or hospitality or a number of other spiritual gifts that God has given us. And when we get to January, we're really going to dig into our own spiritual gifts and looking at that. But right now, we're going to take a step back and look at the spiritual gifts that God gave Mary and then Joseph and then Elizabeth and then the shepherds. And we're going to look at their spiritual gifts and how when they led into those, when they lived in those spiritual gifts, it ultimately created the way for the greatest gift of all. So when we unwrap our spiritual gifts, it paves the way for God to give the ultimate gift. See, and the world needed this ultimate gift. The world 2,000 years ago was not a place that you would want to be. Israel at the time was struggling. See, they were under Roman occupation. So Rome was there, and in various cities in the region, there would sometimes be riots or rebellions, uprising and protest. And every time that happened, the Roman government pushed down on it. They caused persecution. They would kill hundreds of people for rising up and pushing back against them. This was a time of unrest. It was a time of darkness. And what they found that the Jewish people looked to their religious leaders, but even they were lost. Some of them had sold out to the Roman government and just said, you know what, we can't beat them, so let's join them. And then others had kind of removed themselves and said, we're going to just stay away from Rome altogether. And so in many ways, there was tension within the religious community. There's tension within the political community. And it's just a time of unrest, of darkness. And the Jewish people were waiting for a savior. They were waiting for a Messiah, somebody who could come into this dark world and bring light. The world desperately needed light. And so Christ was God's answer to this problem of darkness. And what we see in that is that Mary is one of the first people to say, yes, I'm going to use my gift so that others can experience this ultimate gift. See, Mary had the gift of faith. And as I read this, this is kind of a long definition, but I want you to picture Mary. About 14 years old, and we just heard this story read, right? The angel has come to her, and listen, to this definition of faith and see if Mary just fits this bill. The divine ability to recognize that what God wants done and to act when others fall back in doubt. Although as Christians we are called to have faith, people with the spiritual gift of faith receive it in an extraordinary measure. Even in the face of barriers that overwhelm others, people with this gift simply have confidence that God will see God's will done. Believing deeply in the power of prayer, they also know that God is both present and active in their lives. People with this gift, by their works and by their words, show others that God is faithful to God's promises. Wow. Mary's got the gift of faith. Right? She just is a perfect description of this gift of faith. And we see this as the angel comes to her, right? She's about 14, and so the angel says, you're going to conceive and bear a child. And she's just completed eighth grade health class, so she watched the video. And like, this is fresh on her mind, and she's like, how is this going to happen? And yet she has enough faith that God's going to do something miraculous through her. And then the angel says he'll be called the Son of the Most High and the Son of Man. These were politically charged terms because these terms referred to Caesar. And so if you start saying these words, he's going to be greater than Caesar. I mean, there's power in these words. So Mary, in hearing this, goes, oh, right? Because I've heard what happens in these other towns when people rise up against Caesar. And yet here's God giving this message to me, saying that my son is going to be called the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. Can you imagine the maybe anxiety that she might felt, all the fears and the tension that she was dealing with, that she realizes, like, this is going to get really complicated with Joseph. She's engaged to Joseph, and in that time, engagement was really all the benefits of, or all the responsibilities of marriage without any of the benefits. Like, if Joseph had died, she would have been a widow. So engagement was an extremely serious thing, and so they're connected, and she's like, she's got to figure out all the situation with Joseph and everything else, and yet here's her answer. She says in verse 38 of chapter 1, then Mary said, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Here am I. I think any time you see that in your Bible, highlighted or underline those words, because anybody who says those has the gift of faith. They're able to say, here am I, Lord, send me. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I'm here and I'm yours. And we see that throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, when people say those words, here am I, what's going to happen is God is going to show up and do something big. And so Mary has this gift of faith, and then she travels to go see her cousin Elizabeth. And in the process of talking to Elizabeth, she says these words, once again showing her faith. He shows mercy to everyone from generation to the next who honors him as God. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. He has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. I want to pause here and say that Mary is speaking about what God is going to do through Jesus. But she's speaking in past tense, even though she's speaking of future events. See, for somebody with the gift of faith, when God says it, it's as good as done. And so Mary's speaking in the past tense, knowing that what God said God will do is going to come through. Continuing, it says, he has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has come to the aid of his servant Israel, remembering his mercy, just as he promised to our ancestors, to Abraham and to Abraham's descendants forever. See, Mary's faith in the midst of darkness creates a way for the light to shine. See, I know God has a way of continually getting God's will done, even when we don't want to participate. But I got to step back and wonder, if Mary hadn't lived into her gift of faith, what would have happened? Would we not know the same love and healing of Jesus if Mary hadn't first stepped out and said, I've got faith that God's going to do something great? And by Mary sharing her gift, it paved the way for us to experience that ultimate gift of Christ. Right? And we need that gift. That was God's answer 2,000 years ago, and I think we need that today. I don't know about y'all, but I always struggle as we approach Advent. I get so excited. I'm like, the light is coming into the dark world. And then I stop and I think about it. And that was 2,000 years ago. And we still have darkness. Do y'all ever wrestle with that? We spend Advent so excited about the light coming. And then we go, but the light did come. And there's still darkness. There's still pain. There's still struggle. Every season during Advent, I read this poem. I came across it several years ago, and it speaks to that tension that we find ourselves in. This tension of saying the light is coming, but there's still darkness here. So it's called Advent for Weary Souls, and it's by the Liturgist, and it features Amina Brown. You might close your eyes and listen to these words, this poem, Advent for Weary Souls. This year has brought us tears and sorrow, watching our world like the very ground beneath us tremble with fear, racism, death, hate. So many questions without answers, so many mothers who have had to bury their children. We cannot unplug from the noise of news. Our world is being torn at its seams by a tug of war, finding it difficult to make or keep peace. The fight for human rights, the fear of disease, the violence of militants, lives are being snuffed and stolen. Typhoons, airstrikes, open fire. The protests in Venezuela, China, Mexico, Ukraine are the same as the protests happening in New York, Atlanta, Ferguson. Our cities and towns are at unrest as we wrestle with the violence of lone gunmen, immigration, race relations. As we watch our neighborhoods turn into war zones, we don't hear the wounds. We just take sides and divide to find our us so that we can accuse them. We have stopped listening. We find ourselves with angry fists in what is supposed to be the season of giving. There have been breaches in our confidence and trust. We have lost our ability to mourn with those who mourn, to see injustice with disgust. Sometimes it's hard to light the candle and drink the tinsel when Christmas seems to not unwrap gifts but wounds, reminding us of the people we've lost, of the things that have been stolen, of despair, of grieving, the kind of sadness a Christmas carol can't seem to shake, and what do we do with this baby? The Savior whose arrival had no celebrity, no red carpet, no paparazzi, just Mary and Joseph and manger animals and stars to lead wise men? What does this Jesus have to do with our brokenness and wounds? What does he have to say when the plot lines of our lives don't wrap up neatly like a Christmas tune? This Jesus is not just a baby. He is a radical revolutionary who came to do the saving, who spoke uncomfortable truth to the narrow-minded religious, who turned over tables for justice, who used his voice to speak for children, orphans, widows, who became freedom for the oppressed. Yes, he wanted us to know peace so badly, he sacrificed himself. So we could not realize we are not us versus them, we are us with him. Us who want to walk in love and serve like him, fight against injustice and poverty with him. Let's listen to those who are hurting, mourn with those who are weeping. Let's do what we hear the angels singing, for love, for peace, for goodwill, for all humanity this Advent. May Jesus teach a weary world and our weary souls to fight for justice and someday live in peace. The world can feel pretty dark, and yet we need a light. We need the gift of people with faith, to look out into the world and to find those places that feel absolutely broken, absolutely dark, absolutely unredeemable. And we need you people of faith to step into that space with a candle and say, it's not going to remain dark. It's not going to remain broken. because God is going to bring light. God is going to bring redemption. And as each of us live into different elements and layers of faith, some of us have this level of faith way up here and others might be down here. And if you know you are a person of faith that has a way of just knowing for sure when God says God's going to show up and do something, God's going to do it. We need you to lead the way. We need you to take those first steps for us so that we might follow. See, the gift of faith is needed in our world today to help God's will be done and to create a way for light to shine. Just as it was 2,000 years ago, Mary had the gift of faith and said, I'm going to move forward and God's light is going to come through this gift of faith. We as a church, we as a faith community have the opportunity to hold that candle and to know that Christ is going to bring light into all those places that need healing, all those places that are dark. May we live into the gift of faith so that others might experience Christ's gift of light. Let's pray. Holy God, as we anticipate your light coming into the dark world, we pray for the gift of faith. We pray that you might increase our faith as we look around and find places that are bleak and feel lost. God, we know that you haven't written those places off. We know that you are a God who brings light and healing and wholeness and redemption. So God, we pray for that. We pray that as people of faith, we might carry that light so that ultimately others might see your gift. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As the ushers come forward this morning to receive our tithes and offerings, I want to invite you to participate in being the light. We have opportunities. Many of you have become Salvation Army bell ringers. And we know that as you ring bells and collect money for Salvation Army, we partner with Salvation Army to help bring light into those dark places. Thank you for your generosity in ringing bells. Thank you for your generosity in giving to the church so that we might be a light in a place that feels very dark. Would you please join with me in our prayer for the offering? Holy God and giver of gifts, may our gifts this morning be a sign of our faith. We trust that you will use these gifts and use us to bring about peace, joy, hope, and love in this world. Amen.